We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Tell me of the God-man who bore all the blame. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. When you preach the gospel, you shouldn't be ashamed.
Time for a sermon review here on Issues Etc. Last half hour of the program, a sermon preached by Pastor George Borghardt of St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas. In the 24th chapter of Luke, Jesus commands this, that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Ending where? He says to begin in Jerusalem, proclaiming repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. But he doesn't tell us where to stop, right? So why is it that some churches have stopped proclaiming repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name? Or they may start on Evangelism Sunday and then stop for the next 15, 16 Sundays of the church year. Why have churches stopped proclaiming the repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name? It's not a difficult task. It's actually rather narrow. Jesus says that all of Scripture testifies of him. John the Baptist proclaims Christ to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. There are many examples. So, when we review sermons here, we simply listen for what Jesus has commanded. We listen for Jesus' name. How often is Jesus mentioned? Keep a running tally of how often Jesus is mentioned. Jesus might be mentioned only once. And that's just honorable mention, or maybe a few times near the end of the beginning, or he might be mentioned as kind of authoritative expert. But keep a running tally of how often Jesus is mentioned. And then if he is mentioned, you can go on to the second part of our sermon diagnostic, which is he the subject of the verbs? Remember, repentance and the forgiveness of sins proclaimed in his name. That means that he's the one who brings repentance. He's the one who forgives sins. He's the one who lives and suffers and dies and saves. So, is Jesus the subject of the verbs? Is Jesus driving the verbs? Now, if Jesus is mentioned and he is the subject of the verbs, you need to get to the particulars of the verbs. Part three, what are those verbs? Jesus says, repentance and the forgiveness of sins. How is that achieved? Well, Jesus is the one who has won us forgiveness of sins, living a perfect life, dying a perfect death in our place, rising from the dead. Are those verbs being attributed to Jesus in this sermon? Is Jesus portrayed as the one who simply helps you or inspires you or motivates you or gives you a good example to follow, or the one who actually grants you the forgiveness of sins in his perfect life, death, and resurrection? So is Jesus mentioned? How often is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? With that in mind, and with Christ's command in mind, let's review this sermon by Pastor George Borghardt of St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank God for Lent. I love Lent. Just love it. And thank God also for Ash Wednesday. You should love Lent too. Get excited about it. Be joyful. Tomorrow when you see somebody and they ask you how you're doing, say, it's Lent. I couldn't be happier. For in Lent, God takes your eyes off you and your sins and puts them on Jesus. Jesus is headed to the cross to suffer and die for all your evil. Come. Let us fix our eyes on him. God reconciles you to himself, not by you moving to God, but by God coming to you in the person of his Son. Behold, dear saints of God, the Father's love for you. Jesus, who knew no sin, has become your sin for you. He has become your punishment. He has become your suffering. He has become your beating. He has become your flogging. He has become your death. Today, this Ash Wednesday, to save you, the Lord calls you out of your sins again, out of your darkness, out of your iniquity, to repentance. Repentance, it's a good thing. It's rescue from your sins, relief from your troubled conscience, deliverance from your trespasses. So thank God again for Ash Wednesday. Now I know what you think of Lent. It's grumpy, it's depressing, it's ashy and dark and somber. The hymns drag on, full of all of these ashes and death and your sin. Yes, it is. Lent is all of that, and thank God for it. You need a bit of ashes. You need a bit of God giving you a hard look at your life. You need the Lord to call you out once again from your sins. For dear friends, our lives are so terrible. Have you considered the dreadful things that we do to God? And then, when we're not doing those dreadful things to God, the terrible things we do to one another. We confess that we sin daily and much. And then we do just that. Proudly, boldly, as if we are rubbing God's face in our sins. And don't dodge it. Don't excuse yourself. Don't think it doesn't apply to you. Don't think that someone else needs to be wearing ashes on your forehead or get a good dose of Lenten repentance. No, you do. The law applies to you. Or do you actually think that those who despise God's name and his word will inherit the kingdom of God? Do you actually think that those who disobey their parents, who mess around outside of marriage, who put themselves first, who practice homosexuality, who steal from their work, both from their boss's money and time, those who covet, who get drunk, who party so hard they don't even remember what they did, who extort the poor. Do you really think that such people will inherit eternal life? Really? Well, that's a bit extreme. No, nobody does those sins. Let's instead talk about your gossip. Do you realize that you gossiping destroys those around you? It plants seeds of destruction and evil against your neighbor. You may cover it up and get away with it, kind of like a cat covers up his business in the cat box, but do you really think that God is pleased with you when you say, maybe I'm just venting, I have to say it, or I know I shouldn't probably gossip about this, but it's just, I can't keep it to myself. Really? The hatred you have for others, it runs so deep. Have you ever said to somebody you can't forgive them? You won't forgive them. Do you remember what made you mad in the first place with them? Do you think that God is going to forgive you if you refuse to forgive your neighbor? Really? That thing you thought in your heart, the evil intention that you have, the coveting that you bury so deep, the greed, the avarice, do you think the Father doesn't see it? Do you think you've hidden your porn on your computer so far away that your heavenly Father doesn't know where it is? Do you think it's hidden from him? It isn't. The Father is the hidden one. He sees all the hidden parts of you. He knows. How is he going to repay you for your evil?
All right, he begins strong. I mean, this is the way Lent needs, like a bucket of cold water in the face. That's what Lent ought to be. To wake us up from our slumber, the sinful slumber. We have lulled ourselves into this sinful slumber where we're unaware, like a sleeping man, unaware of the things that we do. Now, remember, Lent is a microcosm for the whole Christian life. Every day should begin with repentance. If I went into your bedroom every morning with a bucket of cold water straight out of the garden hose and I just dumped it on your head to wake you up every day, if that is how I woke you up, you would say, that's a rather unpleasant way to wake up. But you'd wake up, wouldn't you? Each and every morning. In fact, what you'd probably do in about a day or two is start getting up before I get up. Even as you heard the water running, the hose outside running, even you heard me coming down the hall with a bucket full, sloshing full of cold water, the door opening, you'd be out of bed. I'm awake. I'm awake. That's Christian life. Rather than being confronted with our sin and the terrible effects of the law on us because we are sinners, Christians make it a habit to anticipate repentance. Not to sin with the plan of repentance, but to anticipate every day, I will repent, I will need to repent. Why? Because it's a very harsh way to wake up. Lent does it for us anyway. We need it. If this isn't therapy, we need to hear the law speak full force against us so that our eyes might be open to see Christ. And as long as we're in the slumber of sleep, we will not see Christ. We'll only see kind of the machinations of our own dreams and false hopes. So he hits us hard first with the law. What's the law? God sees what you're doing, thinking, saying. We're reviewing a sermon by Pastor George Borghardt, preached on Ash Wednesday, an appropriate day, for that bucket of cold water that is repentance. Our call-in number on this Tuesday afternoon, March the 10th, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Talkback at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address. Now, when we come back, more of this sermon and our review with you on this Ash Wednesday sermon preached by Pastor George Borghardt. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned. More review after this. We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for the next fiscal year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Preaching Christ and Him Crucified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in its mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Viewing a sermon from Ash Wednesday, Pastor George Borghardt of St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Conroe, Texas. He's hitting us with that cold bucket of water in the face that is the call to repentance. Remember, Jesus says repentance and the forgiveness of sins preached in his name to all nations. And remember, it's about the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name being the focus, the center of what is being preached, not just a part of what is preached. Back to Lent, back to the sermon.
Then Lent rolls around, and today we get grumpy. Because Jesus tells us to give up our most precious possessions, our sins. Take away anything, Lord, but my sins. So we make a big, great show. We get religious. We maybe even fast something. My personal favorite fast is to fast something you don't do anyway. So I'm fasting from red meat, but I hardly ever eat red meat. You think God's impressed with that? And if that is your Lent, if that is all that Lent is for you, some self-improvement program or a time to get grumpy or sad because you have to give up your favorite sins and start actually being a Christian, then you'll do what you do before those around you. You'll fast, you give, you pray, and you'll get your reward, says Jesus, in full. And in full means that feeling that you've got when you think you've done something for God, that feeling that you get when you think you're improving, that you're doing better than you did yesterday, that the people around you think you're swell, that feeling, it's the only reward that you will get from God. And when you fall asleep, that feeling will fall asleep with you. Now, Pastor, we are only human. I'm not perfect, and I am improving. You aren't only human, dear saints of God. You are fallen. A fallen son of Adam. From Adam until now, consumed with yourself and what you want all the time. Yes, you have successfully licked some of your sins, and then another one takes its place, along with the self-righteousness. That feeling that although you really messed up, at least you're better than you used to be. And God is going to cut you some slack. After all, you are you. Did God understand Adam after his sin? Did he cut him some slack? Do you think that Adam was safe hiding from God? He wasn't. For the words that you heard today put over you, "For dust you are, and dust you shall return," were spoken first to Father Adam after the fall. And die, Adam did. You will too. I will too. And then what will we do? When all our sins are brought before us, and the filth that we have done to others, all that is hidden is made known, what will we do then? Today, once again, to save you, to rescue you again from your sins, to bring you from the everlasting damnation that you deserve from your own personal idolatry, the Father has come to you again. And has brought you into another Lenten season. He will give you another opportunity to repent of your sins and turn from the evil that you do daily and much. That's the joy of Ash Wednesday and Lent. There's joy in repentance. There is joy in being freed from the sins that so trouble you. Today, again, Jesus rescues you. He breaks into your world, and like your grandchildren or like your children did, he grabs your chin and turns your face to look at your Father in heaven. To tell you a hard word of law, he puts ashes on your forehead. He reminds you about your death. It's coming. Dust you are, dust you will return. But your heavenly Father has more for you than just law in Lent. He has Jesus. Fix your eyes on the crucified Lord this Lenten season. Watch Jesus making his way all the way to the cross. And all the way he goes for you. Watch what he does. He really did keep the law fully in your place for you. Every law. He loved his Father above all things. He loved you more than he loved himself. He never sinned, not once, not ever. And he did that not sinning for you and in your place. Then he took upon himself your sin, your punishment, your beatings, your shame, even your death itself, and suffered and died to free you from them, to wash your sins away, not with some false, you're doing better, it's going to be okay, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. And all your sin, and all your disobedience, and all your guilt, and all your shame, and all your transgressions died with him, and they are all in Christ forgiven. Jesus' cross alone can vanquish the dark fears and soothe this anguish. Lent is here. Time to fast from your sin. Give them up this Lenten season. Take everything that you so desperately cling to as most important and dump it to the ground in order to have your hands open to receive more of Jesus' gifts. In the Word, in the waters of your baptism, in his body and blood this Sunday, which you will receive, given and shed for the remission of all your sin. His suffering and death is what Lent is all about. That's why it's a cross on your forehead. It's there to remind you that you died with Jesus in your baptism. The death that you think about in Lent, there's nothing to fear from it. You have already died. You have already died in Christ. You have risen from the dead to new life. New life, not in yourself or for yourself any longer, but in Jesus. In your baptism, a cross was put upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one who has been redeemed by Christ the crucified. Bought back. That's what it means to be redeemed. Bought back from how you formerly lived. Redeemed from your disobeying him and his word. Redeemed from your despising of his gifts. Redeemed from your disobedience of mom and dad. Redeemed from your hatred, your lust, your stealing, your gossip, your coveting. Freed from all of your sins. Not in you trying to do better, but in Jesus, who truly did, by his death, save you from all that you have ever done. And especially from the things which you have done which scared you most. So watch Jesus moving to the cross this Lenten season, and watch him. For watching him is watching your salvation being achieved and accomplished. That's what Lent is all about. The Father loves his creation and has shown that in giving up his Son to die for you. No drawing attention to yourself during the Lenten season. You can wipe off the cross from your forehead after service. Clean your face, anoint your head with oil, put on a smile, and be happy. Be happy that your sins have been answered for. Be redeemed from your sin, from your hell, from death itself. For your Father, who saw what Jesus did for you, will most certainly reward you. Thank God for Lent. Thank God for Ash Wednesday. For the Lord has once again come into your world, engaged you to save you, and he has today called you out of your sins. Lament your sins, confess your wretchedness, then receive full pardon. Know that without doubt, that the final word on you today, the final word from your Father in heaven today, is you are forgiven. Though great our sins, yet greater still is God's abundant favor. In the name of Jesus, amen.
All right, we talk about Christ-centered, cross-focused. We use that term intentionally, Christ-centered, cross-focused. Not just Christ-mentioned, but Christ-centered. And what are we centered on? His cross for us, his perfect life, death, and resurrection for us. the very source of our salvation. You just heard it. It's not that hard. Here's a good piece of advice for you. I mean, it is the beginning of the week, more or less, but as we head into the weekend, especially during this Lenten season, think about this for a moment. If you go to a church where you are hearing Christ preach without his cross, a crossless Christ, or sermons that are absent Christ altogether, or maybe he only gets mentioned at the very end, or maybe there's a mention of the cross and forgiveness, but it's kind of tossed in at the end as an afterthought or as an obligatory footnote. And the sermon isn't focused on the cross. That is, everything brought to bear from beginning to end upon your need for Jesus on the cross and what he's given you at the cross. If you're not hearing that every week, week in, week out, every sermon, find a different church. You need it. I need it. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.